Welcome back to the story of Esther. We're in chapter 4 today, and we left off with an edict gone out to every province in Persia to annihilate the Jews, with the king and Haman sitting down to drink in heartless celebration, and a city bewildered. What is going on? But what about Mordecai? What about the Jews? What about Esther? This is a death sentence with the king's seal. There is no higher court in the land to appeal. This is it. Verdict in. Sentence delivered. You are guilty. Guilty of what? Of being Jewish. What do you do when the powers that be sentence you to death for simply being who you are? Esther chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. Can you see Mordecai? Can you feel his lament? When emotion overwhelms the soul, we search desperately for ways to express it, to let it out of the body. Mordecai grabs hold of his clothing and pulls at it until it tears and rends. He wails loudly, sorrow and anger trying desperately to escape through his lungs. Some of you know the feeling. If only scream therapy would cure it. And notice Mordecai's location. He is stopped at the king's gate. No entrance. Mordecai has worked in the palace for years. Now he is separated, his identity revealed, his people in peril. Verse 3. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. The Jews are in deep mourning. Now Esther is also Jewish, but she is inside the palace. Verse 4. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Esther doesn't even know. Her entire family, her very people, are slated for annihilation by order of the king, her husband. But inside the palace, she's in another world, oblivious. Who would even think to tell her? Those are other people. Why would those people concern the queen? Verse 6. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened. I wonder what this exchange is like for Hathach. The raw desperation of Mordecai, the oblivious ignorance of the queen. Walking back and forth between two worlds, like a war correspondent trying to convey the realities of combat to a people totally unaware. Hathach is sent back to Esther with a copy of the edict and desperate instructions from Mordecai. Instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach complies, but Esther sends back a difficult reality. Everyone knows, for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. Esther has a hard choice to make. At the heart of that decision is which people she will identify with. For years, she and Mordecai have assimilated, basically become Persians. That was life. It was necessity. Now, with Mordecai outside the palace and their people in danger, who will Esther be? Will she risk her life to stand before the king uninvited and reveal that she too is one of those people, one of the Jews? Verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? What a statement! Mordecai lays it all on the line with confidence. Deliverance for the Jews will arise. In the face of unthinkably dire news, Mordecai is steadfast and his challenge to Esther, for such a time as this. Faith, destiny, it's all in there. It's no wonder that this is one of the most beloved passages in the Bible. But hold on, faith in what? Maybe it's not all in there. The one thing missing from Mordecai's bold declaration of faith is God. Check his words. Where is God? You could certainly infer God, but why doesn't Mordecai just say the word? He says deliverance will arise from another place. And who knows but that you came for such a time as this? Who knows? Is Mordecai's faith in some vague sense of fate? Maybe the universe? And will God accept that? The truth is, we don't know. It's fascinating to read commentaries on this passage. Some criticize Mordecai. He never prays, never directly acknowledges God. Other scholars insist his confidence must be grounded in God. Clearly, Mordecai knows the Lord's promises, God's covenant with Israel. So why doesn't he say it? Is Mordecai's faith in God, or is it unclear? Scholars argue. As for me, I think it's both. And to be honest, I'm thankful for that, because I think a lot of us can relate. Mordecai has a heritage of faith and a covenant with promises of deliverance and hope and purpose and calling. All of that comes from God Almighty. But Mordecai and Esther are so far from all that now. That faith heritage is a messy one. Now they're caught somewhere between secular and sacred, and living in a world where chance is cruel, women are objectified and marginalized, and haters rule. A world where it's dangerous to openly profess faith and identify as one of them, one of his people. I can relate to that. I can relate to knowing God's promises, but feeling so far removed from them. And I think it's beautiful that one of the Bible's most beloved declarations of faith in God begins with who knows, because Mordecai doesn't know, and neither does Esther. They didn't get a direct word from God. Mordecai believes it will work out, but he doesn't know how. He can't speak for God. Like the desperate father who exclaimed to Jesus, "I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." Like Peter, who swore up and down that he would die with Jesus, then hours later swore again that he doesn't know the man. Mordecai believes. Sometimes believing is just hard. But who knows? Maybe God really is working in such a time as this. As for Esther, she has a choice to make, and her options have everything to do with her identity. Will she risk her life to identify with God's people? As she wrestles with the choices, I can't help but hear the early echoes of Jesus' words, "Whoever tries to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will save it." What will she do? Verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Atta girl! Esther decides to take a chance on the who knows. Or maybe she doesn't. Maybe this is real faith in God. Fasting is certainly a way to seek divine help and rely on God over self. But she could very well die. But look at that resolve. if I perish, I perish. Is Esther just resigned to her fate, or is she trusting in God's fate for her, come what may? Sometimes those lines blur. So what is the relationship between chance, fate, and God? Will God show up in seemingly chance events, in the roll of the dice or the long shot opportunities? Is Esther queen by chance or by design? And notice the final sentence. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. Now there's a switch. Her whole life, Esther has been passive, even with 9 years as queen. But she is queen, and for the very first time, and at such a time as this, Esther steps up to lead. Will it work? Read Esther 4 and find out next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.